I'd just like to share before, this morning's going to be quite different because we're going to be presenting a new strategy that God has given us to see the ongoing army rise up and become all that God has called us to be. So this morning's going to be a little bit different, not just a message, but we're also going to have a presentation of strategy for us as a church. We know what the vision is. But how many of you know with vision, you actually need strategy? If you've got vision to see something happen, for example, Ben and Sam to get their house ready to be married and move into, they had a vision, but now they've got strategy. And that includes putting things into place so that it works. But before we do that, I'd like to just put a way of thinking to you about your faith. Just to get you thinking about your personal faith. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul actually speaks to the church and he said, I thank God for you that your faith grows exceedingly. I thank God for you that your faith grows. Now, that means that we can have a faith that is ever increasing in its dimensions and influence. Our faith, when we first become a Christian, starts with just that total dependency on Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. But from that small seed of faith can come mighty deeds for the Lord. And God can change you from just being a believer to somebody whose faith is increasing in influence. Now, faith cannot grow just through praying about it, just through trying. Faith actually comes, as Romans 10:17 tells us, faith comes to us by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you have the Word of God in you, you have living, active faith on the inside of your heart. Faith is of the heart, not of the mind. And God is wanting your faith to grow and increase so that it has ever-increasing dimensions of influence. So Paul's thanking God for the church that their faith is growing. Now, we often in our conversations with families and children, we look at children and we say, oh, haven't they grown? Don't we? If you see a baby and then you see them a year later, if you look at Jesse and some of our kids here, they're like, my goodness me, what are they on? Superfood. They're eating superfood. They're growing. They're growing so fast. We say it about if we plant seeds in our garden. I've grown some carrots. Started with a seed, but it actually produces more than one. It just keeps going. It keeps growing. And we are to be in a place where our faith is continually growing so that we have ever-increasing influence that many can be affected by the living faith that you and I possess in Jesus Christ. And sometimes I think when we talk about hearing the Word, we make life really complicated. We make faith complicated. Faith isn't complicated. Faith is hearing God speak His Word to you personally, and you accepting that Word that He gives you. All Scripture is God-breathed. That's the Word of God. And if you hear the Word of God, faith will come to your heart, a fresh knowing in your insides, that in your spirit, that God has given you something, a promise. It's yours. You take it by faith. And I was thinking about this and how faith sometimes is like a stone or a pebble that's dropped into a pond. You know, when you throw a stone into a pond, it comes in and it creates a powerful exchange with the water. It moves the water. And the Word is like that. It comes in and it moves you on the inside. It's not like passive. You're not going to sit and have faith and go, amen. You'll go, yeah, something happened to me on the inside. There'll be a divine exchange, and it will create ripples, won't it? You know, when you've had faith and you've heard God personally, it does something on the inside of you. And you know that it's living and powerful. And faith is being sure and certain of what we don't yet see. But you know you've got it, even though you haven't yet seen it. But like that pebble thrown into the pond, it starts with a small little circle of increase, of influence, doesn't it? And then another circle. Have you ever done that and counted them as a child? You've gone and thrown a stone into a pond, and you just see these ripples, these rings going further and further. And I believe that's what Paul meant when he was saying, thank God, your faith has created not just, it's just a tiny ripple, but it's gone out so that the whole world knows about your faith. Now that's the vision that I want God to put on the inside of us today, that God wants to put on the inside. He wants you to have this thinking about your faith. Not just my faith, not just our faith, but that your faith will grow and have these unusual ripples to change the world. And I believe that God wants us as his people to understand and to have these goals that he has for us, ever increasing faith, to go from faith to faith, not from faith to passivity, doing nothing, just going to heaven, but that we will see great works of faith through our lives. That we will see what we've never seen before through our personal faith. And God has a plan for you to come into new dimensions of faith personally that will create a ripple effect in the world you're living in, so that many will come under the influence of Jesus and his kingdom. But the word must change us first. There's no point talking about faith if it hasn't taken hold of you. It's like that pebble in the pond. It completely changes the whole state of play of the water. And I believe the word of God is to change us personally first. That we need to become a person of faith first. Because if you and I are individually people of faith, then that ripple effect can continue to go out and out. If there's only a little kind of drop of sand in that pond, there ain't much effect. But let's get some great big heave-ho rocks chucked in to have a shaking, a powerful effect on the world that we're living in, because we're here to change the world. God says in his word that faith pleases him. And we read in the Old Testament about two guys called Joshua and Caleb. They're some of my favorites because they, God said, had a different spirit. And they actually followed God wholeheartedly. And Joshua and Caleb were part of a select team that were sent out to spy out the land that God had given the people. And if we look at our vision, we are spying out the land of an exceedingly great army. And I need to announce to you today, and I wasn't going to say this, but God spoke to us from 1 Samuel chapter 14, the goal of our faith in the next season. And that is an army of 600. And that is an army of 600. God wants to raise a church of 600. An exceedingly great army. And so that's the vision. And Joshua and Caleb were presented with a vision. Go in and possess the land. It's a good land, flowing with milk and honey. But they all went in, the 12 spies went in, and they all came back and said, yeah, we agree with the word of God. It is a good land. It does flow with milk and honey. But we saw giants, and they're so big, so nasty, so terrible, so overwhelming.
we can't go in.
Now, Joshua and Caleb, being of a different spirit, and I'm talking about a spirit or a heart of faith, they were people of faith before they got to look at the land. And they saw the giants just in the same way the others saw them with their own eyes. But because of the word of God, the word of faith on the inside of them, their response was positive. It was, God is with us. God has promised us to go in and take that land. God has said that we are going to be an exceedingly great army. I'm not going to give a bad report because I've only got a good report on the inside. That stone of God's word had dropped into them and it influenced them so much that they couldn't be influenced by giants. Giants couldn't take them over. The problems couldn't sink them. God is with us. We are well able. God is with us. We are well able. We are well able, church. One heart, one mind, one vision. A believing heart. Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit. They believed before they experienced it. They said, I believe it. And they were changed personally by the word of God. They thought, we're taking it. They spoke, we're taking it. It was in their heart. It was in their conversations. Whenever they met with each other, they said, hi, how you doing, Josh? I'm all right, Caleb. I can't wait to go in and take it. Can you wait? I'm just looking forward to going in and kicking the enemy out. I believe that we are called, and it means every believer, to have a good report. And that a bad report eliminates you from entering in to the good things that God has planned. God says, I am not pleased with bad reports. I didn't say that. God says, don't. I'm not pleased with unbelief that says we can't do it. Faith pleases me. This is an important word this morning. Faith pleases God. You understand? And a good report about his church and what we're going to do pleases the Lord. We are an exceedingly great army. And I know it's the first time you've heard it, but as soon as I heard 600, I was like, come on then. It just hit my spirit. It was like, no probs. Imagine that, 600. Don't think where we're going to fit. Just think people saved, rescued out of Satan's power, on fire for Jesus and serving God. Just think about the positive. Don't just think, well, what a giant. Oh, my goodness me. Let's just go for it. Joshua and Caleb, a different spirit. God wants you to have that spirit of faith that takes hold of promises that are so big, where there's so many giants, but says we are well able to overcome. Thank you. Let's praise the Lord for the spirit of faith. Behind your faith are hundreds of people. If you believe, hundreds will get saved. It matters to the bigger picture and to the vision that Jesus has for people. Now, I'm just going to look at 1 Samuel together. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Growing faith. God wants our faith to grow. We become more and more like Joshua and Caleb, never having a bad report. Always something good to say about our personal lives, situations. Something good to say about the church we're in, we belong to. Hallelujah. And I'm proud of that. A good report. I've got a good report about you. Have one about me. Let's have a good report about each other. Keep the unity of the Spirit in reality. Don't let the enemy come in and steal that good report. Now in 1 Samuel, I'm not going to look at it all, it's a long story, but you know the story about David and Goliath. Goliath was the enemy of God's people coming against the army, Saul's army. David at the time was looking after his dad's sheep. He was at work serving his father. And his dad said to him, I know your brothers are on the front line in the army. I want you to go with a bit of bread and cheese, take some supplies, and make sure they're looked after while they fight. Sadly, the bread and cheese wasn't to supply an army moving forward because they were all just sitting down doing nothing. They were intimidated by Goliath. Now, Goliath would come out every day. The armies would come together, but Goliath would stand and say, basically, if you get me, you'll get all of us. So, basically, you're never ever going to be able to overcome this enemy. And all God's army, God's people, were in fear over this one Goliath standing right in front of them every day. They were intimidated. So David shows up, happy guy. Faith people are always happy. There's always something positive about it. You can think, you know, they think about positive. It's like Pastor Andrew said this morning, I've learned to be content even if I don't really like hot weather. Hey, I'm happy. It's just this whole attitude, the stones on the inside is changing me. My circumstances aren't coming in to sink me. And so he comes up, he shows up with the food, and David hears the Philistine coming out to defy God's army. And he says in verse 26 of chapter 17, David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills his Philistines and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David is in an attitude more like a soldier than the whole army. And he's like thinking, who does this Philistine think he is? Who does the enemy think he is? Coming against us. How dare he defy and come against the army of God? How dare the enemy come against you? How dare he rob you? Your health, your peace, your prosperity, your children, your future, your mind. David was a fighter. He had learned to be a fighter in his working life. He wasn't on the platform. He was on the work front. And he was winning many personal battles. He was winning victories. One victory after another through faith. So actually, he offers to go out and get Goliath. And it's an amazing story. But I just want to look at verse 33. Saul says to David, you can't do this. You're not able to go out and fight this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy. And he's been fighting a fighting man from his youth. So in other words, experience tells me you can't. Has experience ever told you you can't? That means you are not growing in your faith. And you need to grow. Doesn't it? Because if experiencing is reasoning about who you are, you're too young, you're too old, you're not this, you're not that. If that's telling you what you can do, then what you need is a stone in your pond, the Word of God coming in to completely change your inner world so that faith rises on the inside of you and you begin to think, hey, how dare? My circumstances communicate what I can and can't do. only the Lord defines who I am and what I can do. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, no point listening to the enemy for your information, nor listen to reasonable people who analyze you. We don't need analysis in the church. We need faith. Because faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith will get you over your financial trouble. Faith will get you over your marriage issues. Faith will get you over whatever problem you're facing. Faith is the issue. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I believe that David was a covenant man. He understood that Deuteronomy 28 was written for him. And Deuteronomy 28 is all about the blessings of those who obey God. And he would sit with his sheep at night in the fold, quoting the word. When the enemy comes in one way, he will flee from you seven ways. All David had in his mind, if the devil comes against me, it's seven ways he's off. It was already in him. He already knew that God would deliver him from all his enemies. And in fact, he now begins to give a few examples to Saul. Verse 34, David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock, I went after it." May the Lord raise us all up to be like David, where whatever comes against our stuff, we go after. When the enemy comes in to steal, to kill and destroy, we rise up and say, "There's absolutely no way you're taking what God has promised me." Or even doing that for the business you work for. That business isn't going to sink because you're there. We're going to go after victory for that business. Got to think broader than just ourselves. And David, here he is saying, "I went after it, I struck it, rescued the sheep from its mouth, and when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." I mean, I'm talking fight. Do you not want to be a little bit like him? Do you not want to hit the biggest problem in the world and go, "No problem. We're here. God's here. Absolutely no problem. Let's go for it. We're going out to get victory. Any incurable disease, no problem." Do you not want to just think, grow your faith? Think, grow your faith. Think, I'm going to go from bears, lions to Goliath. From my personal life, right through to my family life, through to everything that I touch, I'm going for victory in everything. And then when God brings me into a place of greater influence, remember the circles, the pebble in the pond, I'm up and ready because I've already got a proven track record of faith that overcomes and wins every battle. Jesus said, didn't he, "According to your faith, it will be done." Maybe sometimes all our praying about issues and situations, maybe we should just rethink. I need a stone in my pond. I need the word to be dropped into my spirit to cause a faith reaction that says, "That's it. I'm now got what God said." And come to the Lord and say, "Lord, speak your word. Your servant is listening." As I read your word every day, let the word come into my spirit so that negative kind of tendencies are driven out by the word of God. So that bad reports diminish and I get a good report on the inside of me. Amen. The word of faith. David says, I'm going to go after. I went after them and I'm going to go after this. And David, you know the story. By God's help, there's no way. Without God, he could have won that victory. It was God who delivered Goliath into his hands. And the whole nation moved into a new season of victory. Do you know your victories cause others to come into victory? And it's so important you're growing in your faith so that you bring many into the victory of Jesus Christ. Do you get the picture? It's a different way of thinking. I've done this for Jesus. You've done something for Jesus. Praise God for what you have done. Praise God for your lions and your bears. Don't settle for sicknesses that cause issues. Come against them. Say, Lord, give me a word to come against this. Give me a word so that I've got faith to overcome. Growing faith. Anybody watch the tennis yesterday? The ladies' final. I prefer the men's final. But just personal. I prefer a faster, harder game. That's why. Something really hit me with Isiki. She really moved me because she's really had to overcome a lot. She didn't used to be able to walk, so she's had to overcome a lot to be a tennis player and one of the top seeds in the world. But I saw them come on to the center court yesterday, and you could see, even though she was smiling, the victory wasn't already in her. And she actually lost the game because she said afterwards, I was overwhelmed with the occasion. It sunk her. She wasn't able to get her internal perspective, I'm going to win this, because actually she was seated above the other player. She could have beaten the other player. And she lost that match because she wasn't thinking, no problem. I've had her before. We've beaten her before. I'm going to take it out this time. And you've got to have that fighting mentality if you're going to win anything in life. You've got to say, I'm going to beat this. I'm going to win this. It's not going to beat me. That's a David mindset. That's a kingdom mindset. But we also need to know sometimes that when we're out of our depth and we do fail, how to pick up. Lisiki needs good people around her. I don't think she's a believer because what she really needs is God and the word of faith. But you need good people around you to pick you up and say, come on, let's get back. I remember when I was a student in Manchester, and I don't know, I was 19, 20 years old, not that long ago, and seems yesterday. It was so recent. And I was studying food science, and I'd never met a computer before in my life. And in those days, yes, those days, I'm going to talk about those days, a computer was the size of a wardrobe. Does anybody remember computers the size of a wardrobe? And this class of 20 students would go in where this old gray-haired gentleman who was lacking in confidence and very unclear taught us about computers for 1 hour per week. I looked at this computer the size of a wardrobe. I listened to him, and unbelief started to build. It became a giant in my life. And as I looked at this giant, I thought, well, I was forced to go up the front and learn how to turn it on, which was already, you needed a degree to turn one of those things on. It's made for ordinary people now. Computers are made for me. 20 years ago, not quite. And I'd turn it on and I'd try and work out the printer, which was these reams of, what do you call it? This awful endless reams of paper. It was quite intimidating, even the paper. And I made a mistake. And everybody went, you know what you're like when you're a college student. Yeah, I got it right. You could just feel the pressure. So I disappeared to the back row, never went to the front again, always pushed somebody else forward, and decided computers wasn't for me. Praise God, I've changed my attitude, and I've got an iPad. And I preach from an iPad. This is overcoming. But it's also understanding how faith works, how life works. You see, if I had approached for the rest of my life that I can't, I will never have gone near this. And I wouldn't have the confidence to stand up. The first Sunday, I didn't tell you, but I was a bit, is it really going to work? Am I going to be able to? What if I push the wrong button? But you've got to overcome those little things that you could back off and live without, but it doesn't make you a fighter. It makes you a settler. Don't settle for what you can't do. Come on. Get a word from God. Receive faith and say, I can do. God says I can. I believe it. And I'm going to go out for the victory in this. The disciples experienced failure. I experienced embarrassing failure. I failed my driving test. I failed things in my life. I passed it now and I'm a good driver. That's a good confession. I had faith. I got faith. I wasn't a Christian, but I got confidence. You're going to pass anything in life, you need confidence. The disciples, do you remember the story in Matthew 17 when Jesus is up the mountain? The disciples have this dad say, I'm desperate. My son is just being destroyed by this sickness. This demon is wiping him out. He's going to die. And he brings them to these disciples. But they didn't have a stone in their pond for that moment. They were living out of their mental association to a miracle they did yesterday. And they didn't have a living faith on the inside, because Jesus said the reason you couldn't do this is because of your lack of faith. Jesus said that. Disciples, have a go ministries is not the right way. Have faith. It's a world of difference to having a go and having faith, because faith is the victory. When you've got faith, you've won. And you can speak to that mountain. He taught them. If you have faith like a mustard seed, you can speak to that mountain that is destroying that boy's life. Come on, church. This is where we are going. We are going for mountains that are destroying people's lives in faith. And we're going to say to those mountains, get out. Move. Jesus did it with a word of faith. He rebuked that sickness and it left. Jesus didn't throw out those disciples who failed. He didn't say, I'm going to pick better people. He said, keep walking with me because I am going to grow your faith. Whatever we failed in the past, come on, it does not define us. We are going to grow our faith and live with that mindset. Thank you, Lord, for the faith I've already seen working. But Lord, I know there's some bears, lions, and Goliaths for me out there. And there's some boys whose dads are desperate, waiting for my faith. Can you imagine that, Father, waiting for your faith? That's where we should be taking the faith message so seriously, that actually it's our responsibility. We're in relationship with Jesus, and he will authorize fresh faith so that we can overcome and win victories. Let's stand together. Thank you, Jesus. So, this morning, as we've listened to God's word together, just if you want to respond in this way, I do. Lord, I want my faith to grow. I want to be like Paul spoke, your faith is growing. Like David, from one victory to another victory to another. Just get that vision of victory in your personal circumstances. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Just lift up the name of Jesus above your circumstances now. And just thank him for his word. And that his word, when it drops into your spirit, is like that transforming power of his word in your heart to bring faith that comes from hearing. Just thank him. His word is designed to bring you to faith. Come on, let's thank him. Hallelujah. Your word is the faith bringer to me. We just open our hearts, Lord, and say, let your word be dropped into our spirit. We want to receive the word of faith, the word of God, that will bring faith, that will bring the victory in our circumstances. And any area you've backed off spiritually, any area you've tried and failed in, anything you feel discouraged about, just come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm inviting you and I'm going to work with you on this to grow my faith. To give me your word so that that unbelief can be driven out, that intimidation, that giant can leave my life, and I can be like Joshua and Caleb and say, I am well able to overcome it. Thank you, Jesus. Now just pray for one another and just pray for a grace to receive the word and to be people who have the word implanted in your heart. And transforming your whole person to be like Joshua and Caleb. Just pray for one another.